Hey everybody, welcome to episode 8 of CreateCast, the show about people who make good. I'm your host, Chase K. Today's guest is Chef Ludo Lefebvre, an award-winning chef and restaurateur based out of Los Angeles. Many of you might recognize Chef Ludo from ABC's cooking competition, The Taste, but he is much, much more than another talking head. Chef Ludo is an incredibly talented chef, and I can't wait for you to hear what he's got to say. We talk about growing up in France, his early time in the kitchen, and, you know, just what it takes to be a chef today and what he sees in the world of food. If you're new to the show, welcome. We've been gaining a ton of listeners every week, and we really appreciate the support. We were even featured on iTunes front page the other day, and it was kind of crazy. I freaked out a little bit. Our giveaway for this season is still on, so if you'd like to win a copy of The War of Art, an incredible book on creativity by Stephen Pressfield, as well as a CreateCast sticker pack and some other goodies, make sure to rate, comment, and subscribe to us in the iTunes store. And also, visit us at CreateCastBod to sign up for our email newsletter. We're going to be selecting one random subscriber as well as one random commenter in the iTunes store to receive those gifts. You can double your chances by doing both, so once again, make sure to comment in the iTunes store and go to createcastpod.com to sign up for our email newsletter. And just a reminder, this is episode 8, so there are 7 other incredible episodes that you can go back and check out right now. We have voiceover artists and rappers and even Kate Crater from Food & Wine magazine. I mean, just a huge variety of people, lots of cool people doing awesome things, and really that's what this show is about. I mean, CreateCast is all about rad people and what they do. So, go back and check out those other episodes, and remember to subscribe so that you get all of our future episodes. We're going to be running season 1 all the way through the summer, and we have some other incredible people coming up. If you're interested in food, we're even going to be having Chef Carlos Salgado, a new Food & Wine Best Chef of 2015. This interview was recorded live in Chef Ludo's Los Angeles restaurant, Trois Mecs, so there is a little bit of kitchen noise, he gets interrupted a couple times, but you know, that's the life of a busy chef, and I just really appreciate his time and appreciate having him on the show. At one point you'll hear during the interview, there's a noise in the kitchen, and he actually threatens his chefs with push-ups if they make more noise, so in the manner of a true French chef. Laying down the law. But man, once again, a huge thanks to Chef Ludo for coming on the show. I mean, just a really awesome guy, and if you're ever in the Los Angeles area, make sure to stop by his restaurant, Trois Mecs. I'm going to be linking to Trois Mecs' website as well as Chef Ludo's website in the episode description, as well as our own website, createcastpod.com. So, once again, I'm Chase K, and this is CreateCast. And now, here's our interview with Chef Ludo. All right, hey everybody, we're here with Chef Ludo of Trois Mecs here in Los Angeles. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Welcome, Chase.
So, take me back to the beginning. When did you start cooking?
So, I started cooking in a restaurant business when I was 14 years old. I did an apprenticeship.
Sorry. It's all good.
Jesse, what's up? Whose people call you? Okay, tell Bravo. I don't want to do it, okay? I don't want to do this show. Okay, let's go start again.
Okay, so cooking in restaurants at 14.
So I start cooking in the restaurant at 14 years old. I did an apprenticeship. You know, in France, you have the school, like you sign for 3 years, and during the years, you are at school, and you are too with a restaurant. Like, for example, during the month, 1 month, I was 3 weeks with my chef at this restaurant working, and 1 week at school to doing this math, learn French.
So I assume that, you know, obviously sort of with the rank system that you find in kitchens, you started at the bottom and then worked your way up.
But yeah,
when
of course,
you started cooking, what type of dishes were you cooking?
So when I start, you know, my apprenticeship, of course I was not doing that much. It was more like peeling vegetable, learning cleaning for example, wild rabbit, beef, work a lot in the pastry, all the little job, I was a little hand in the kitchen, you know what I mean? And, before I cook on the line, in the restaurant, it was 3 years before I really do something, like really put something on the plate for a customer. Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy, you know, it takes so long in France. No, they don't just let you work like this on the line. You know, it's a long process, of training.
Yeah, and so by the time, I mean, you were pretty young when you were designing menus and working at restaurants here in the U.S. too, right? So when did you come here?
I came in America in 1996. I was 24 years old, and I started to work in the restaurant called L'Orangerie. It was a Relais Chateau, a five-star restaurant, one of the...
Seriously?
No, it's really okay.
Sorry, bro.
No, it's really okay. You honestly, the background noise is cool.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, you're right. It's just every day, man. Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Who did a mistake? We have a new rule now. When you do mistake, guys, any mistake is push-up. Nicole.
You're going to get strong, Nicole. Because you're going to do a lot, Nicole. Alors, attends, what we say, Chase? What
you ask me?
Ah, wait. So I came in 96 at a restaurant called L'Orangerie. It was a Relais Chateau, five-star mobile. No, it was not, sorry. So, okay. 96 at L'Orangerie, a Relais Chateau, a very high-end French restaurant. You know, it was very, very known in the restaurant business around the world.
What about maybe the American food scene did you find so different and maybe intriguing, you know, as opposed to France?
I mean, you need to understand, when I moved here in 96, I was 24 years old, and all my life I work in France. Yes, I work with the best chef in France, a three-star Michelin restaurant, but at the end of the day, you know, I was just using all the time the same ingredients. You know, at that time, French chef was not yet open, you know, 30 years ago, about different flavor around the world. All the food was very, very, very French, mm-hmm. French ingredients. So when I moved here, I was very surprising, you know, about all the flavor I discovered in LA. I mean, it's amazing, amazing city, you know, like Asian, Latino. I never eat this kind of food before, you know. So I discovered wasabi. I never eat wasabi before.
Yeah.
I never worked with a jalapeno, Mexican jalapeno, fresh jalapeno. Never, because in French we don't eat spicy. I never really use soy sauce. I didn't know about Sichuan pepper or this Chinese food. So, yes, I discovered a lot different flavor when I moved here. It was pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, I've noticed that about your cooking, you know, just sort of ingredients that you wouldn't expect. I mean, for example, sushi rice or, you know, sort of really interesting things. You know, that's awesome. Another thing I've also noticed about the restaurant, just in general, is music seems to be a big part of it. And, you know, I've noticed, I always hear people mentioning the soundtrack that's on while you're eating, and, you know, whether it's French hip hop or,
yeah,
you know,
people love it. It's really...
So, I mean, tell me a little bit about that. Is that important to you?
If music, it's important... You know, in the small restaurant like this, because it's very small, trois mecs, I like to have a little music behind, because sometimes in the beginning you just have two or three tables, so it's very quiet, and I think it's good to have a soundtrack behind. I think you don't hear that much what people say next to you, so I like that, you know.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting because I did this old school rap music from the 90s, and people really love it. I mean, a lot of guests ask me who did the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Soundtrack, yeah?
Yeah.
Soundtrack. Say, oh, it's me. And actually, Justin Timberlake came to eat at Petit Roi, and he asked me about the soundtrack. Who did that?
That's
it was
awesome.
Pretty cool, huh? It was pretty
That's
cool.
Awesome. So take me through, like, the creation of a dish. Where does it start for you? And is it... an idea, maybe a flavor, an ingredient?
Most of the time, I start a dish with ingredients. You know, it's really to find the best ingredients and after play with that. You know, I always say, you know, every day I spend maybe, I would say 80% of my time hunting for ingredients. I always want to find something new. All the time. I mean, I go on internet, or I call the farmer, or vegetable.
Yeah.
I look everywhere, around the world too. You know, ingredients, I want the best. So I don't mind to buy an ingredient from France, Spain, or Italy, or Asia if it's better. Mm. Most of the ingredients, they come from California, 80%, I would say. But if the fish is better in Brittany, I'm going to buy the fish in Brittany. Mm. You know, I want the best. So, yes, the dish really start most of the time with ingredients, you know, to find amazing ingredients. And then after, you play with that. You play about the technique, how to cook it, what is the best way to cook the ingredients or to serve it. And after, you play with flavor, you know.
Do you have any favorite techniques that you keep going back to?
Now I really love the new thing I'm doing. I'm brining all my vegetables. I love it. And technique I like too now, it's really to using the... I mean, since we opened the Trois Mecs, we have the wood burning grill. Mm-hmm. So I really love to play with that. You know, really cook on the charcoal. I mean, I play a lot with the charcoal, with the heat, mm-hmm. with the flame.
Are there any dishes maybe on the menu right now or that you're working on that you're excited about? Any specific ingredients or thing that you're really just feeling passionate about right now?
Ingredient now, we have some amazing green asparagus, you know. Hey, Doug, what's the farm for the green asparagus? Zucca?
Zuckerman's.
Yeah. Zuckerman's, you know. Mm-hmm. A farm have amazing big green asparagus. Yeah. And we do so, we shard, grill the asparagus, serve with parmesan broth, with some crispy clams, with garlic butter, black pepper oil, and purslane. So that's a new dish we have now on the menu.
That's awesome. And, you know, obviously a lot of the dishes that you serve are really vegetable-centric or maybe not meat-focused.
I would say yes. I mean, we focus a lot on vegetable. You know, most of the time a dish starts with a vegetable.
And you also do, I mean, people can choose a vegetarian tasting.
Yes.
You know, and is that hard for you to come up with maybe like a vegetarian menu or is it something you've grown into?
No, I mean, it's not hard, you know, to come out with a vegetarian menu, you know. I really treat, use the vegetable as the meat or the fish. I cook them exactly the same way we cook a fish or meat. And, you know, you have so many things you can do with vegetable, actually, you know. It's you know, yeah, so many things you can do with vegetable. So it's very exciting. And, you know, California is, for me, is the best state for produce. We are lucky to be here, you know. As a chef.
Yeah. Is there a reason why you sort of gravitate towards the tasting menu as opposed to an a la carte menu like at Petit Trois? Like, is there a reason for that
so,
behind the Trois Mecs vision?
The reason why I did a set menu, it's for, of course, quality. You know, like this, every day I do 50 covers. Mm-hmm. So I buy 50 fish, 50 meat, 50 carrots. So every day the food is fresh like this. You know, the turnover is very, very easy. And also to control the quality of the service. Also, yes, service too, no, hospitality. I'm a lot about hospitality with my staff. And, you know, it's a small kitchen too, you know.
Yeah,
I cannot do a menu à la carte. You know, it's going to be too difficult for us in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, set menu I like it too, you know. Now people are... more and more open to eat a set menu, you know.
Yeah.
People want to have an experience.
Yeah, so they want to explore.
Yeah, LA changed a lot now. People are more into food.
Yeah, I mean that makes me wonder when you first came here versus now. Do you see maybe a different type of clientele or maybe just a more educated restaurant goer?
You know, it's a lot of different kind of clientele. I mean, yes, we have some educated clientele. We have a young kid, like 13 or 14, because they see me on TV, so they know they want to come here and they love food. No, it's really a mix of clientele. That's what I like here, you know. And the restaurant's still very accessible. You know, when I opened this restaurant, it was very important for me to be accessible with the price. Mm-hmm. You know, I was not interested to do a menu of $200 per person here in the small restaurant. I still want to be accessible. You know, I want to.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I think people see cooking on TV so much. Like you mentioned, a young kid wanting to come in and see you. I mean, I feel like the restaurant kitchen sort of gets glamorized so much. But I mean, it's really hard work. I mean, is there anything maybe that people should know about the restaurant kitchen that they don't see all the time?
I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, to be a chef, it's a lot of work. And now with TV is good and TV is bad for the young kid. You know, now chef, who are still like a celebrity. Was I don't know why, but you know anyway. But kids, they don't realize how long it takes to become a chef.
Yeah.
I'm 44 years old. I cook for 30 years now, and I opened my own restaurant 2 years ago. That's it. because before I didn't know exactly what I want to do.
Yeah.
I didn't know my style of cooking yet. I think to become a chef, you need to be patient. And the new generation now, they're not patient. They want to be a chef right away.
Yeah.
You know, they go to school and they want to be a chef. Like, I get so many students after school, you know, guys, can we just be quiet a little bit, please? Just 5 minutes. Now the young kid, you know, they're going to school, and after they finish school, they want to be my sous chef.
Yeah.
They don't know how to, you know, clean a fish or butcher a lamb. And be a chef, you know, it's not just about cooking.
Yeah.
It's about to be a leader and to teach people. This is my third job as a chef, is to teach my staff how to cook. That's what they work for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the young kids don't realize that. What is exactly the definition of a chef?
Are there any maybe sort of really important dishes that you think every chef should know how to cook? Like
I mean, definitely
that
one
so.
Thing every chef should know how to cook is eggs. Mm. Any technique of eggs.
Yeah.
Eggs is very difficult to cook. But you can judge a good chef by the technique, how he cooks the eggs.
Mm. Are there any places in town right now, or you know, when, if on the off chance you aren't at the restaurant and get a chance to go out and you know experience other food in town, are there any restaurants that
I
are
mean,
interested
yeah,
in
I mean, one restaurant
now?
I want to go, I think I'm going to go next Sunday, is really, I really want to go to Rusted Canyon,
mm.
Jeremy Fox.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing what he's doing. It's a simple food, but it's just so good. Jeremy Fox is one of the best chefs in the city for me. Definitely. So I really want to go over there, Jeremy Fox.
I'm curious, you know, obviously you had a lot of success with your Ludovites, you know, doing pop-up restaurants. And now that you have sort of a set space, is there any desire to go back to the pop-up at all and do that again? Or
I mean, I never want to say never. Now I don't have really a desire to do that.
Yeah.
Trust me, it was for a long time I suffered with that. Not suffer, it was fun, but it's just very, very
yeah,
hard.
A lot of
you
work.
Know?
Yeah.
Why not? Maybe if I'm doing another pop-up concept, it will be outside perhaps California or outside USA, you know. Like some people want me to do a pop-up now in Dubai for 3 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I cannot do that. I can't.
It'd you know, be cool, though.
No, it'd be cool. You're right. You know, I mean, that's what is cool, pop-up. You know, you can travel and still walking. That's,
yeah.
That's what I like it, you know. But to go 3 months in Dubai, I mean, I need to close the restaurant, take the staff. I mean, they want to pay for everything, but I'm not sure yet about that. I don't know.
Is there something maybe that you prefer about or like about the pop-ups that you don't get with the restaurant atmosphere? And is there something about the restaurant that really is better than the pop-up?
What I like about pop-up, you know, it's during 2 or 3 months when you do a pop-up, it's pressure every day.
Mm.
You walk in the kitchen, you don't know. Most of the time, the kitchen is not that good because it's a bakery or it's a sandwich place where I did, and the oven's broken, the freezer's broken, so every day is drama. Every day something happens, and you share it. But I like it. You know, it makes me have a good energy. When you have a restaurant, it's great, but every day is the same.
Yeah.
You know, you have not, I mean, well, drama, yes, of course, but everything is working very well. I mean, it's just the same every day. I mean, we change recipe, but more about the ambiance, you know, the ambiance of the restaurant, you know, it's different. I like the stress of the pop-up.
Yeah.
I like it. And I think, you know, it's to see the guests too. The guests are very exciting to go to a pop-up, you
mm-hmm.
know, because it's just for 2 or 3 months. They get a ticket, so they're very excited. You know, every night, I mean, the guests are just so happy to be there. I mean, here too at Framec, but Framec now it's open all the time. I mean, all year, so, not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But pop-up people are very excited, like exactly like they go see a new movie, you know, so it's cool. You know, it's very exciting, but.
Yeah, just a couple final questions. You know, obviously your dishes are very beautiful, and so tell me a little bit about plating a dish and how it's, you know, obviously you start with an ingredient, but how is a dish visual for you? Like, it has to taste good, but
yeah, I mean, of course, as you know, a dish, it's about the taste, of course. You know, when I create a recipe, I never really think about the visual first. It's more about the taste, but then after I play with that. But I want really the food on the plate to look very simple, and I want to be complicated. You know, very, I love the clarity of a dish.
Yeah.
And I want to put too many things on the dish, like tart everywhere, like now people are doing now. No, I want more clean, more, we say puridity?
Yeah,
puridity, like you know, and less ingredients. You know, and focus with ingredients and technique. More I'm getting older, more I want to cook simply. When I was young, you know, when I was young, I want to cook like, I want to be creative. And it was more, you know, I think it was more about the ego thing. And now I just want to cook simple food. It's more fun for me. I did so many mistakes when I was young, so many mistakes.
Well, and obviously, you know, you're saying when you're young and you have kids now, and
yep.
how do you... Do you bring them into the kitchen? How do you cook with them?
I have kids. I have twins, 4 years old, Rev and Luca. They're coming sometime here at the restaurant to eat at Petit Trois. Of course, they're coming here to the kitchen. You know, they go play with the ice. My son loves to play with the ice, put it everywhere. And Luca, my son, really loves to cook. He cook a little bit with me at home, you know.
That's awesome.
He uses a knife now. It's crazy. He uses a knife, bro. It's crazy.
Well, man, thanks to
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Again, a huge thanks to Chef Ludo for coming on the show. If there's one thing I found with recording these interviews, it's that I'm just really lucky to be able to do them. So many incredible creative individuals and just so many incredible insights. I mean, just things that you wouldn't think about. And you know, it's just awesome to talk to these people who are so successful in their crafts and so professional in their crafts. So once again, make sure to check out Chef Ludo and his restaurant Tuamek. I'm going to be linking in the description so you can just click right through if you go to the info on this episode. Also, remember that our giveaway is still on, so head to createcastpod.com to sign up for our email newsletter, and make sure to search CreateCast in the iTunes store, click on the show, and make sure to hit rate, comment, and then subscribe. That'll make sure that you get all of the rest of our episodes, and while there, you can check out the rest of our guests and hear more incredible interviews just like this one. To new listeners, again, welcome. We've been getting a huge response recently, and it's been really incredible to hear from everybody. So, if you're at all curious about our show, make sure to visit us at createcastpod.com to find out more about our guests, see some behind-the-scenes photos, and just get more info about me, whatever, what we're doing, what's coming up this season. It'll be a lot of fun. And now, to close, here are some final words from Chef Ludo himself.
So, it's Chef Ludo reminding to make good.